The News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio.
A couple of tickets.
And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, Linda Bott.
I'll take a couple of tickets.
Hey, our phone lines here are 605-4567 here on the 14th of August, the 70th anniversary of the ending of World War II.
Well.
Today.
The 70th. Never mind.
I've got you covered.
Got you covered, babe.
That was unremarkable.
70th.
Yeah, that was unremarkable. Hey, we're streaming
without
on,
a lift.
Yeah, without a lift. We're streaming on KCNR1460.com. 7 after 7. It's a Friday. Give me a break here.
It's okay.
What's the weather look like?
Okay, currently 64 degrees in the downtown studios. Good morning, and yes, you're hearing a little kitty cat in the back meowing because we are going to be doing our pet of the week. But before that, let's give you the weather again. 64, hazy. The forecast calls for hazy today and tonight. 91 is our highs. Lows tonight, 67. Saturday's going to call for a hot and hazy day again, 102. Saturday night's around 69. Now, Sunday's going to be hot with 105, and Sunday night calls for about 71. We're still going to be out there on the deck, though, singing.
You know, but you know what?
On the river.
20 degrees cooler. You're on the river, and Linda is just so cool with that band. Well, you'll think that you should have brought a sweater.
The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. They are locally owned and operated, where they give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call for any of your propane needs or questions, 365-3793. Now, every Friday morning...
is the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II. VJ Day. Today was people were marching in the streets, people were kissing each other, and they were doing all this. And it's kind of like they do in the studio here.
You watch too much Bugs Bunny.
I'm watching too much Bugs Bunny.
Anyway, our favorite Friday morning segment, you know, of course, is when we have Haven Humane come in, and Spencer brings in our pet of the week, and we have a couple special, really, events that are coming down today and tomorrow. But with us this morning, Spencer, and you have two little kitty cats.
I do. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this morning I brought with me Sparky, who's in my arms,
cute,
and Bo, who's in his cage, because it's a little hard to wrangle two of them at the same time.
Wrangle.
Sparky.
Okay, so what are these cats? What kind of breed?
So these are domestic short hair mixes.
Okay.
They're both black with a little bit of white. They have the white socks on them and a little bit of white on their muzzle. How you tell the two of them apart, because they look almost identical, is by their nose color. Sparky has a pink nose with a little black dot, and Bo has a solid black nose. Other than that, they look identical. Very cute, adoptable kitties that are ready to go home today. They do. They sleep together. They snuggle together. It's actually quite amusing.
Are they litter mates?
Are cats little pet? Are they pack animals?
Yes,
not like dogs.
Yes and no. I mean, they're not necessarily pack animals, but if they have other animals that they're around all the time, whether it be a sibling or your own cat that you already have, they do become very social animals. So they like that social attention, but they don't necessarily travel in packs.
Mm-hmm. Unless they're lions.
Yes.
Okay. So what's happening today? Let's share with our audience. Friday and Saturday, you have a... where is this where you're going to have a special adoption fee for kitties?
So it'll be held at Haven Humane Society at 7449 East Side Road. It'll be today and tomorrow from 11 to 5 p.m., and we are having our Pawsport to Adoption event. It's a great event where you come down...
That's P-A-W-S.
Yes.
Pawsport.
It's where you come down. We have a lot of booths down there that have different cat name cities.
Cute.
You'll get your little paws sport, you'll pay a $10 fee. You get a t-shirt with that $10 fee. You go around to all of the little booths and get information on cat care and just some basic information on kitties. And then you get to come inside and you get a free cat. So, I mean, it's amazing. It's a great deal. You pay $10, which covers the price of the t-shirt, and then we give you the kitties.
Wow. See, this is a wonderful way. Now, when somebody comes in, I mean, you register them and everything, right? So you know this particular cat has gone to this person at that address.
Yes. And you know, this event, it does still include the entire medical package. So every cat will be spayed or neutered, microchipped. They'll have a full exam, tested for diseases.
Sparky is just kind of like hanging out.
You want to definitely adopt the two.
This is a laid-back cat.
Yeah,
he is. They're both pretty laid back kitties.
I mean, they're just sitting there, like he's just like kind of hanging his head over.
Yeah,
going,
he's looking very interesting. Is what he's saying.
He says, "I can do this. I can be held like this the rest of my life." Yes.
He wants to be your new studio cat.
That's what we need is a studio cat. Yeah, that's exactly what we need.
We used to bring in Snooki, but she got underneath the producer's feet a few times, and I thought, oh, God, that's all we need to do is have a wire dislodged, and we'll sit there for three weeks trying to figure out why we're off the air.
Have one of our producers step on her. That would be...
Well, anyway, okay, so today and tomorrow, starting from 11 to 5:30...
Yes.
At Haven Humane. This is incredible. You know, if you've been thinking about, kitties, this is a great opportunity. Plus, it's fun.
$10. You get the cat, you get a t-shirt, you get it all.
You get everything.
It's a fun spin to go check it out.
It is. You know, and our goal is to place 100 cats. So we definitely have more than 100 cats at our shelter. We would love to exceed that goal. We would like to at least meet that goal today.
Okay. All right.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Great stuff.
Okay. All right. A lot of things happening. You know what? We've got some good news. It must be Good News Friday on our show. The 70th anniversary of World War II ending. And that means today at 11 o'clock up in Igo, they're having a ceremony. Today at 11 a.m. at Igo, a ceremony commemorating this. We may actually have our very first tenant out at Stillwater. That's right.
Cool.
A local Lassen Candy Nursery. I know the people that own this, and Liz and her brother Kenneth own this nursery, and it's one of the largest ever of berry stock plants producers. You know, they do the strawberries and all the different types of plants.
Oh, that's cool.
16 acres out there, I believe, is what they're doing, and they're paying full price. $840,000 is the offer.
That's me.
And that's full price. And that way, if they do that, they don't have to worry about prevailing wage or anything else that goes on out there. They're just buying it. 16 acres. And the city has to vote on this, though. And they're going to do that today at 6 p.m. What do you think they're going to say?
What do you think they're going to say?
Oh, I know. We don't want to sell anything out of Stillwater. Nah. Let's still let Hawes graze his goats out there. Except Hawes isn't grazing his goats, whoever's grazing their cattle. Nah, let's not sell any part of Stillwater, which hasn't had anything sold and has been like an albatross around the neck
negative.
Of the city. No.
It sounds negative.
Well, what I'm just saying is I cannot imagine them not selling it. Unless there's something so totally weird about it. But it sounds they want it full price. It'll be our first people in there. You know, I think it's a great idea, and a big shout out to our friends there at Lassen Candy Nursery for doing this. I think this is great. And if anybody is checking my figures, I got them right off the front page of the Record Searchlight. Okay, hey, let's take a quick break. Today we've got Dr. Tennant, veterinarian, here talking about animals.
That's cool.
I can't wait. And then Bruce Dean, who's not only the president and co-founder of Black Bear Diners, but he is also the chairman of the board of the California Restaurant Association, over 2,000 restaurants and something like 2.5 million employees. Got some really good stuff he's going to be talking about today. I've got a lot of questions to ask him, especially about this minimum wage that everybody's thinking is a great idea for entry-level employees and what that's going to do to your what's it going to do to the economy, what's it going to do for a chance of getting jobs when you're young, all of these things. Anyway, but we'll be right back. Oh, but you know what? First...
I know, you're running the show.
I'm sorry. But you know what? The thing is that school's coming up, and I just saw photos of the grandkids getting ready. In fact, they started school
yesterday.
And one of the things.
Weird, huh?
It is.
They start on a school. Thursday.
One of the big things is before they go to school, is making sure they had a great night's sleep.
Yeah. We recommend the Sleep Number, absolutely, and they have one that's and they have Sleep IQ, but they also have it one now for kids. Why not get a great mattress for your kids with the Sleep Number?
In the Sleep IQ Kids bed allows you to see how they're sleeping. It's new technology. Nothing has to be done. They just sleep, and then you get a readout on how they are sleeping. You can get this, of course, by going down to Target and heading into the Target shopping center, going over to see our Sleep Number people, Brian and Janice. And my Sleep Number setting is 45, and Linda's Sleep Number setting is?
40.
40. But we sleep so well. But school's back. How can your kids sleep? And if you take your kids down there, you can get a look at it. But you also have an opportunity to win a $5,000 to a $50,000 college scholarship and a Sleep IQ Kids bed. And you just do that by going down to the Sleep Number store in the Target Shopping Center there and signing up. And remember, tonight, bedtime, tomorrow, the world. Sleep IQ for kids. We'll be right back after these messages.
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality health care is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test-driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
This summer, we believe we can all beat the heat without having to sweat our electricity bill. Your Redding Electric Utility would like to remind you that there are many ways to save energy while the AC is on. Please visit reupower.com to learn how you can change a few small things around the house to save money while keeping you and your family cool. Learn how turning off lights, planting trees, and adding weather stripping and insulation can cut your electricity bill by 30% or more. Remember, reupower.com, brought to you by REU, where Redding is powerful together.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
It's Friday. Carl's dancing.
7:20 today.
64 degrees.
You know, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. 70 years in the business, top 100 hospitals in the entire nation for 3 years in a row, and the top cardiac in the top 50 cardiac hospitals in the nation. Plus, they've got an emergency room that if you've got an emergency, there's where you want to go. Shasta Regional. How'd they do it? They treat people well.
Okay, you know, it's back to school. I mean, I just talked to Eric, our producer, and his kids are going on Monday. Our grandkids started last week, so everybody's in, you know, some people are starting on Monday. Why they start in the middle of the week, I don't get that, unless the pictures are posted late. But anyway, kids visiting Target. This just came across the headlines today. Kids visiting Target will no longer have to consider their gender while shopping. The retailer announced Friday it will start removing gender-based labeling in several departments, including toys, bedding, and entertainment around the store. The company says the direction comes from after feedback and suggestions from customers.
From 0.2% of the customers.
So what are you saying? We don't want to know where the girls' bedding is or the boys' bedding.
It's all in one spot.
Girls.
Girls should be able to have baseball bedding just like boys do. And boys should be able to have little hearts and little flowers on theirs, just like girls. It makes no difference. It's up to the parents. It shouldn't say boys or girls. We should never say boys or girls. There should not be sex. Sex should never be entered into in just any type of signs or anything. In fact, bathrooms. Bathrooms, just do away with men and women bathrooms.
The company said Target used signs and displays to make it easier for guests to navigate the store and shop more efficiently.
And they made them in Spanish.
However, gender-based signs in certain areas were no longer necessary. Their quote is, "We never want guests or their families to be feel frustrated or limited by the way things are presented." The move comes after Abby Bechtel, a mother from Ohio, tweeted a photo in June of gender-based signage at a Green, Ohio Target that sparked a conversation on gender-based signs in the retail stores. "It stood out to me as a good example of the way our culture tends to view boys and men as the default normal option and girls and women as the specialized exception." Oh.
Okay, well, that's fine. You don't want to, if you don't want to label things and say girls, boy, that's fine. There's certain things that frankly, why do parents need to know it? You know, and why even mark the clothes? Why not? For little kids, their clothes are all the same. Just say little kids' clothes. And that way you can go in and get, Eric, you've got little kids, right? Do they really have any, is it a boy and girl or two boys or two girls or whatever?
I have a boy and a girl.
Okay, which is the oldest?
The girl.
Little girl. Okay, little girl wears Levi's though, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, she wears pants and that kind of shirt.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can little boy wear them as he gets bigger? I mean, is there a difference in the types of clothes?
Oh, definitely.
There are?
Yeah.
Oh, so you wouldn't let him wear her, like her shirt, a t-shirt that says little kitty on it or something?
Probably not, and he probably wouldn't enjoy it too much either. So
I'm just wondering. I mean, see, this is what we're saying here. There's no, why make a gender difference? I mean, you know what? If we're going to do this in this country, let's really do it. Let's not just stick our nose in the tent. Let's just really do it. Do away with gender. Gender-based anything. Now, you have to admit as you get older that men's and women's bodies are different, but you should be able to tell that. You should just say clothing. And you kind of walk over there and you kind of look at it and say, well, this is made by Levi and could go either way. So, am I being silly about this?
No,
I mean, frankly, I'm just up to here today with this. I just saw where a baker, again, is being put out of business that he cannot in his own business say, hey, I'm not going to bake a cake for this. My religion is strong about this. In fact, I've just stopped baking cakes totally and lost part of my business from this because I frankly don't agree with this whole thing. And yet, because the United States government says, oh, no, you're discriminating against them. What about that sign that says we have the right to refuse service to anybody we want? I guess that sign's not worth anything, and people should just take it down. It's not worth anything. If I walk into a store and say, I want you to make a cake for my marriage with my dog, my horse, and these two girls, you've got to do it. Oh, I can't do that. Well, excuse me, but you have to. To hell with your religion, to hell what you think. Okay, that was just a little rant there, because the rest of the day is going to really be nice. I have another.
Okay, do you want to talk about Hillary's emails? Okay, this is from the Drudge report. The two emails on Hillary Rodham Clinton's private server that an auditor deemed top secret included a discussion of a news article detailing a U.S. drone operation and a separate conversation that could point back to highly classified material in an improper manner or merely reflect information collected independently. U.S. officials who have reviewed the correspondence told the Associated Press. The sourcing of the information could have significant political implications as the 2016 presidential campaign heats up,
her servers that she handed over. This is after they did exams of 40 emails found two or five that had classified material, two of which had top secret SCI, which we talked about yesterday. But then she handed over servers that appeared to be professionally wiped. So I'm not sure what they're going to find out. And then they had to, literally a judge had to order two of her employees not to destroy government work records off their private servers. See, and this is where it's really bad. Okay, oh, she's Hillary Clinton and she's got this type of server, blah, blah, blah. What about, but now her own people have their own servers. They have their own things they're doing. And he has to order them. Don't destroy your emails. Even though it's government property, he has to order them to do that. These are Clinton's people. This is the type of person and the type of work that we've seen Hillary Clinton do from the time that she's entered politics back in the 90s. And, you know, I don't ever believe that she was had a hand in killing that one guy that was in her place, that worked there. But there were so many other things that did happen. The fact that they were getting ready to destroy a 21-year-old girl, Monica Lewinsky, and I mean destroy her, and they had it lined up, and they were lining up for that when the blue dress evidence came out. And this is the kind of people you're dealing with. And
still Clintons. Ruined. It still has affected her and her family's life forever and ever.
And people don't realize this, is that she was 20 years old, 20, 21 years old. And this was the president of the United States. If he had been in the military, he'd have been cashiered. He'd have been court-martialed for this, for having relations with somebody like that in his command. He would have been court-martialed. But see, everybody, oh, that's Uncle Bill. You know what? He's a philanderer and an adulterer, and he was a liar. He perjured himself under oath. And yet we seem to think that's okay. And what did Hillary do?
You think that's when our country just really started to see our eyes that the rules, it's okay, the rules don't apply.
I think that started back with, I think that started back way before that. But I think he really trumped it when he did that. And when he did that, it set a new low level for politics and for presidents. And you know what? I don't know if we, you know, and now Hillary is running, and she's been part of this. Now, frankly, you know, is she an evil person? No, but I think she does things. She would do anything to get elected, and she'll do anything she wants because nothing ever touches her. Nothing ever touches her. This is something that with servers and stuff that, you know, this is a release of information. You don't know who had access to that. You don't know because it wasn't behind the firewalls that the government puts up. And now we find out that the people working for her had the same things. This whole thing stinks. And the Democratic Party needs to start looking at it. Joe Biden is kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm back in. And somebody said Al Gore's losing weight. Why is Al Gore losing weight? Maybe Al Gore's going to make another run at it. Hey, Al, hop in the fight. I would just love to see that happen. Anyway, okay. Good news. The zip line. There's a young man who wants to start a zip line north of Lakehead.
Very popular.
And we're going to visit my sister, and we're going to go to we're all going to meet like in Colorado. But one of the things that she's already signed us up for is a 3-hour tour on zip lines.
And I've never done it before.
And this guy wants to set up a zip line here, and it's going to be a 2.5 to 3 hour tour up here around Lakehead, 100 feet up in the air. Can take, he figures 150 people a day during the summer that he can run through the zip lines up there. And you know what? Good idea. And the Shasta County people, their planning commission voted 5-0 to move ahead with it. Great idea. That's good news. That's good news. Linda is showing me.
Sharon Stone. I mean, I'm perusing.
How old is Sharon
Stone? It says Sharon Stone reveals all. She's naked on the front of, let's see. Well, I mean, she's covered, you know, she's covered the parts.
The bizarre, something bizarre.
Daredevil, it says, Daredevil sex symbol and survivor, the actress who claims her leading lady status with the new series and more grit than ever. She's 57, and the headline is Sex at 57. Oh. Hey. You know, I mean,
we need to take a break. We're going to have a.
Want to see this?
No, we need to take a break because of our guests coming in. But this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right across from C.R. Gibbs. Leonard has everything you could possibly imagine at Four Winds Jewelry. Estate jewelry he specializes in, but he has it all. And I'm talking about big gems and to something you would really might have to sell your house to buy. but he's got it all there, plus the only trained watch repairman in the whole area that can build a watch from scratch if he had to, but he can repair anything there. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460 on this beautiful Friday. 7:33 in the morning on KCNR 1460, currently 65 degrees. And this portion of the show is brought to you by
Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. That's right. Veteran-owned business, and he does something nobody else does. He offers full guarantees. From chips to cracks over 24 inches in length, Jeff Wurst can fix them. He fixed one of my truck, 7 years ago, and you still can't see it. And that was like a 12-inch crack on my windshield. And he can do it. And if he can't, he'll tell you, hey, I can't do this. You need to take it someplace else. But so far, he's been able to fix everything. Give him a call at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street right here in Reading. Reading Crackmaster Windshield Repair.
Well, very excited about this next segment because, you know, I'm all about pets. Pets and their well-being. And with us this morning is, I'm just so thrilled to meet her, one of our reigning veterinarians in Reading, and it's Carla Tennant. Kara Tennant. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and you are with Care Animal Hospital. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about, for those maybe have not met you before when you've come to, been on our show, let's find out a little bit. I'd like to find out where you come from, when you decided that you were going to become a veterinarian, that aha moment, as Oprah used to say, what was your aha moment? Tell us a little bit about your history leading up to becoming a veterinarian.
Okay. I grew up in Sacramento,
And oh, my. Yay, me too.
Oh, yay.
What part?
Oh, we're sisters.
I know. What part? Hey, listen, if you're Sacramento music, girl.
Sisters. That's right.
What part? Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Del Campo.
Okay. Okay. I was at Rio.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So cool.
And so you were in the same area, kind of, where'd you grow up?
Fair Oaks.
Okay, Fair Oaks. Lived there for a while.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go.
Right.
All right, so then when did you, what happened?
No.
After high school, did you know you were going to be a vet at a certain age?
I can't remember a time I did not want to be a vet. I was really, really little.
Okay, were you into, like, biology and kids? You were, like, how does it work? Dissecting, like, figuring out, caring, nurturing, I mean...
I loved all of that, and any stray animals I would try to bring home and try to get my parents to adopt them. Sometimes it worked, and sometimes it didn't.
So you knew from the time you were very little, I want to be
very
a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
But there must have been something there, though. Did you go to a veterinarian with an animal or something, and you realized that I want this? This is the best job in the world.
You know, I always wanted to be one.
Wow.
And when I was 16, I decided I was going to volunteer to see if this is what I really wanted to do, because actually working in a clinic and thinking you want to be a vet can be completely different, because
oh, yeah.
It's not always just, you know, petting cute little animals. You know, there's scary stuff and...
They're snarly
well,
big animals.
Well, I have to say that there. Now that you're thinking about that, because you know, I have a flashback about living in the Fair Oaks area, and there was a veterinarian that was there, and I'm going to have to look him up. Having a veterinarian that you trust is like going to the dentist or the doctor. The well-being you trust that you know you don't know what's going on inside mm-hmm. of your critter, and to know that you trust the life of your critter with the expertise, and that there's a trust that happens there. There was a guy in Fair Oaks that was kind of an old time vet that had been there for years, and I loved him, and I loved his staff, and I felt safe and secure every time I took my pets there. So I know there's a feeling of when you have your vet that's in your family of the trust. And so tell us that I looked up your site, and Kara, there's also something there about you have a kind of a package that you can give people. I don't think a lot of people know about that. It's almost like when you have the well-being for we have insurance for people, you have one of those that's a specialty
for puppies and kittens.
For puppies and kittens.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so we have the kitten and the puppy packages. And these are really important because when you get a young baby animal, you want to make sure that they are nice and healthy. And you also want to establish a relationship with your vet because this is going to be your pet's doctor. And if you just come in once and get your pet's vaccines and then you don't see them for a whole year, then, you know, you lose that relationship. And just like you're saying, you want to have trust with your, you know, with your pet doctor. And I think that's really important. So having these pet packages where it really is, it doesn't cost any more. It's actually cheaper if you do it than rather you paying for these individual vaccines. You get an exam each and every time you come in with your puppy or your kitten. And so you get to stay with the same vet. You get to meet that vet and get to know them. And establish
build a
that
relationship.
Trust, that relationship.
Well, there's a homey feeling, and that's kind of, I'm bouncing around because we went from Fair Oaks to Sacramento mm-hmm. and where you went to school. We're bouncing around about that feeling of trust and that kind of hometown feeling mm-hmm. of being with somebody. So now you've gone from Del Campo High. Where'd you go to college, and how did you go into vet school?
I went to UC Riverside because they had a great biology program, and also I wanted to live away from home.
Uh-huh.
And
I always like that.
And experience
not
that.
Now.
Wow.
Not now, but then
yeah.
I did.
And
that was
I've,
exciting for you. Next, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I visited several colleges. They were great. So I went there for 4 years, got my degree in biology. And then
because
I went to
Because you knew you wanted to be a vet.
Because I knew I wanted to be a vet.
That's odd. That is just, because there's a lot of schooling that goes into become a veterinarian. Mm-hmm. What, nine years?
It's eight.
It's just about the same amount as becoming a, you know, the doctors today, they do nine. My brother did 11 because he became an anesthesiologist mm-hmm. and internist, so he had to go 11 years. So
well,
he was 31.
He failed a couple years, too.
He was 31 when he got out of school.
No, I'm just kidding.
So, okay, so now...
Wait, where'd you go to vet school?
Yeah, where'd you go to vet school?
I went to St. George's University in Grenada.
Yep, see, I remember that. Mm-hmm. And because
I remember in Grenada, of course, was where the at one time during the back in the 80s that they had to go into Grenada and rescue the college students there.
Yep.
Not just at because there's a big medical school there too, but there's also a big veterinary school there.
That's right.
And it's the same.
Wow.
You're at the same level there because you have to take all the exams that you do if you went to school in Colorado or someplace.
Yeah. And it's AVMA accredited too.
Yeah.
Now, which means when you graduate, you don't have to take foreign boards. You just have to take your U.S. boards.
So while you're looking for schools, why did you decide? What was it about that particular school that you knew that you were going to? How many years?
4 years.
You're going to live in Grenada and go to school. Why'd you choose that school?
So I wanted to go there because they start hands-on early. They start their first year where you are in there learning how to suture, and I didn't want to wait. You know, I wanted to get as much experience as I can. And then they don't have the caseload to be able to do rotations in your fourth year. So what they do is they have you apply to a vet school they have a relationship with, and I wanted to go to Scotland. And they had a relationship with the University of Edinburgh.
I remember this from when Dr. Tennant and Kara was on earlier. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that was because we know people that went to school there, you know, at the University of Edinburgh. You're not taking veterinary science, but other things. And it's amazing how many people go to school there? I mean, how many Americans go to school at Edinburgh at St. Andrews?
God, we went there last year. That place I could spend a long time in. What a blessing.
Oh, I loved it.
What a blessing that you got to go. So you're in Edinburgh working on your veterinarian degree.
I know.
What were you working on in Edinburgh? Just every kind of... What was your specialty there?
You know, they do a lot of sheep there.
Well, you know, sheep, horses.
A lot of horses.
Farm animals.
A lot of farm animals.
A lot of sheep there.
A lot of sheep.
Well.
Okay, this is what I heard. That, you know, you've seen these stone walls in Scotland and Ireland. And they say the height of one of those walls, ideally, it was so high that a man couldn't pick up a sheep and steal it and throw it over to the other side of the field. You know, that's how high the wall was. It was that high, so he couldn't get the sheep up over the wall to steal it. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a great story.
That's a good story.
I like that. Okay, so you're in St. Andrews, and did you play any golf? Tell me, at least you played one time.
Or walked a course.
On the old course.
So I went to the old course.
Yeah.
You have to have someone to take you. As a woman, they don't let you on the course. Yeah, you have to have an escort.
Really?
So I did go, and I did walk around, but I didn't actually get to go
play.
Okay.
Did you go to a little bar up there on the, it's a bar on the old course, like on number 18?
No.
Did you? Okay. I mean, bar's been there for like 200 years. We went there.
We're talking about Care Animal Hospital. I want to, there's a couple things that you need to know about this, a great place to take your pets. The laboratory, they have a full-service in-house lab to get immediate diagnostics results for your pet after testing. That's amazing. Two, imaging. The staff can obtain the proper images to rapidly diagnose and efficiently treat your pet with the full-servicing imaging center. Great. Dentistry. Your companions require dental care, your furry companions. That's why they provide extensive in-house dental services for your animals. Now, also, you can get your dog license at Care Animal Hospital. One-stop shop. It's so fantastic to think that you guys offer all the services. Testimonials have been excellent. Go to Care Animal Hospital and check it out. You really want to check out the website. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We have more with our doctor here, our veterinarian, talking about animal care.
This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know what? You go in Espresso Joe's, it's not just coffee. It's every cold drink you can imagine, plus brews and wine. Have that. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in the whole Northern California area and a walk-in humidor. That is absolutely fabulous. All this with a veteran-owned business and discounts for veterans in Espresso Joe's. We'll be right back with Dr. Kara Tennant, Care Animal Hospital. We have found out, you know, how she's gotten into the business. You know, it's nice to know that somebody's... This is what I want to do from the time I remember. And now I'm doing something that I love. And when we come back, I like to talk about hot weather and animals. And then just, you know.
And
just,
why you're in Reading. Love that.
Yeah, that's the other big thing is how you got here. I mean, Grenada, you know.
Edinburgh, Scotland.
Edinburgh, Scotland. Okay, you got family down in Sacramento.
Sacramento.
So, but here's Reading.
We love Northern California.
And we'll be right back.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us. We will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your deliveries. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchards. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
This is Jonathan Anderson, director of the Good News Rescue Mission. In response to the concerns of our community caused by the recent recession, changes in our state law, prolonged drug problems, and an increase in mental health issues, the mission has examined its policies and practices in order to take a proactive approach. We have developed great incentive programs to help keep people off the streets and to help them break the cycle of poverty. However, we have also implemented strict policies to deter those who are criminally active and bent on destruction in our community. Any guests who are caught loitering, stealing, or panhandling will have an alert placed on their electronic account and will be denied services until they speak with a case management team to address their negative behaviors. Last year, with these efforts, we helped 250 people break their cycle of poverty and are no longer on the streets of Shasta County. To help break the cycle of poverty in our community, please visit us at gnrm.org.
It's the 11th annual Dog Pound Poker Run benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino, starting with an awesome buffet and featuring raffles, bands, dancing, fight games, vendors, and poker hand and joker hand prizes at each stop. Poker hand with a low hand of 250 and a high hand of 500. For pre-registration form and details, visit RedingDogPound.com or call 710-6289. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Dr. Jack Finch, Shasta Regional Hospital, Outlander Creative, Lakeshore Inn and RV, America's Tires, Shasta Athletic Club, AC Guide Service, R&R Meats, Everyday Fitness, CR Gibbs, Crown Motors, Land Custom Seats, Outlaw Motorcycle, Sojourn Sellers, Westside Pet Hospital and Boarding, Record Searchlight, California Brewery, Rich Bay Resort, and Mosley Family Sellers. The 11th Annual Dog Pound Poker Run benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino. So why are you sitting there? Come on and ride.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Abad. Good morning, my friends. It's about 12 minutes till 8 here on Friday, August the 14th. It's about, you know, 65, is that? 65 to 67, going up to 91 today. But this weekend, look for the hundreds, and all next week, look for the hundreds. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Road. The greatest selection of guns and ammo and shooting accessories that you'll ever find here. Locally owned, locally operated, good people. They have classes on concealed carry, on hunter safety, and they believe in customer service. You never have to worry about customer service. You only get the finest at Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Our guest is Dr. Kara Tennant of Care Animal Hospital. It's a local girl down in Sacramento that went away all over the world to learn her profession. Came back and worked with some veterinarians, Linda, that they're talking about right now. How did you get to Reading?
So after vet school, I moved to Virginia, and I lived there for almost 10 years, practicing there.
10 years?
Almost 10 years.
What part of Virginia?
I was in the D.C. area, so I was in Fairfax.
I know that. I used to live there.
Oh, yeah.
Not in Fairfax, but in the Northern Virginia area for several different times.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
And then we decided we're going to move back to the West Coast so I could be closer to my parents. And I wanted to live in a smaller town where I could run and mountain bike and enjoy the mountains. And when I interviewed all over, but when I came up here and I came over I-5 by Red Bluff and saw all the mountains down in the valley where Redding is, I said, how have I not been up here? This place is beautiful.
Isn't it funny? You live in Sacramento, and there's so many beautiful things in Sacramento, the flatland, as we call it, right? And then you come up here, and there's, you know, I remember the same feeling, like, you know, Carl and I, once we decided that we were going to be together, we thought, well, we could be anywhere in the world. Where do we want to be? We just, our hearts were drawn here. So, again, the very things that, like, well, Sacramento is beautiful, and we have lakes and rivers, and but coming up here is a different, it's a place to settle.
Doctor, you've, for people, so many people, and they love their pets so much, but sometimes that they love them too much. Is this right?
It is right.
I mean, they want to be happy, and, mm-hmm. and so we give them, as humans, we project mm-hmm. what we think happiness is on our animals. We have no idea what we're talking about. What can people do to keep their little furry loved ones healthy?
You know, the first thing I see about when people love their animals very, very much is they feed them a lot.
Mm.
And they feed them a lot of food, and they feed them a lot of food that we eat. So they'll give them a little piece of chicken or turkey, which is fine, but then they'll do a little bacon and a little cheese. And if you think about it, if you have a little 10-pound dog, they only need about 200, 250 calories in a day. And you think about that little tiny piece is going to be, you know, a third of their calorie intake for the whole day. And that's why we see so many obese
little chubby dogs
and ever overweight animals,
because they'll eat no matter if they're full.
Oh, of course,
because
they love it.
And then they love you back. I love you. I follow you around. I bump my head up against your leg anytime you head in that direction. I just think it's because she loves me. Well, maybe because I give her something every time we go
well,
there.
Well, people feel loved when their dogs love them back, you know, and I think there's something about having a critter, you know, there are so many healthy reasons to have pets. I think it, you know, it's something beyond yourself. It's an unconditional love. It's just, there's a peaceful thing that happens in the household, I think, when you have the love of a pet.
How many pets do you have?
I have 2 dogs and 2 cats.
Okay. All right, so if you would tell, so what you want to tell people is, then you love your animal. I can tell that, but that little dog needs to lose 2 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Do you give out diets and things like that?
I do, and usually I'll give measurements because I'll know, I can calculate how many calories that pet needs in a day, so I can give you a measurement, and then we can chat about how to kind of curb the treat, because it's really hard just to stop that completely. I know how hard that is. But we can modify it, and we can change it, like maybe some carrots and green beans instead of, mm-hmm. you know.
Is it okay? That's a good thing. Is it okay to give them carrots? Because Elk Killer loves carrots. Is it better? Is it okay to give her a carrot?
Carrots are great.
And then green beans, too, like the snappy green beans?
Yeah, you could do dry or, you know, fresh, raw, steamed, low-sodium canned.
Really?
Yeah.
And there's no calories in that.
Well, there are very little calories.
How about those dog biscuits you get? You know, that, you know, it could be any type of dog biscuit, but those got a lot of calories in them. Is there anything good to them?
It depends on the type of biscuit. Right. So milk bones in general tend to be fairly low in calories, and those are the ones that I tend to give my dog. But those treats can
add
up.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They can.
Okay, so you can give your animals little bits of carrots and green beans and celery?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Celery? I don't think she likes celery, unless I put a little dip on it.
So, Dr. Tennant, tell us, because we have about 6 minutes left in the program.
This time. Dr. Tennant's going to be with us once a month. I mean, I just want to break in, because it's not going to be the only time we're here. Once a month, we're going to get the good doctor in here, and we have people send us, you know, can send us questions and
our
stuff like that.
Our veterinarian of the year.
The Free Fire Radio veterinarian.
Okay, so tell us when you leave today, what the day looks like for you at the clinic.
So today I'm in appointments all day, so I'll be working 9 to 6, seeing appointments all day. So the way we work too is we have one doctor in surgery and one doctor in appointments, and today we've got 3 on.
Three.
Fridays are always busy, so we've got 3 doctors on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
A lot of surgeries.
What kind of surgeries?
We do a lot of spays and neuters, a lot of dental work, and then we do mass removals and things like that. But we work a lot with rescues, and so we do a lot of spay and neuters.
Okay. Mm. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And then, okay, so when we talked about the biggest thing is that people have obese little pets because they love them so much and they want them to do that. The dogs, I mean, in all your experience, the dogs really understand what you're saying.
I feel like they do.
I think they do, too. When I tell her, you go outside and go to the bathroom, and then you'll get your bone. And I tell her, no, you're going to go outside. You're gonna... And she does.
I think they do. I mean, I'm sure they're animals who don't, but I think they do. They're smart.
All right, so what would you say,
I tell you what, I tell you, mine can work me.
Yeah.
I mean, she works me like you cannot believe.
Oh, they know. They do. They know how to do that.
Get your underbelly. So, Dr. Tennant, what would you say if somebody was sitting here, like in the MD world, they'll say, what's your specialty? So in the veterinarian world, as a doctor of veterinarianism, what would be your, is veterinarianism a word?
Veterinarianism
a word?
Veterinarianism.
Veterinarian
medicine.
Yeah, veterinarian medicine. I don't know, but that sounds pretty like, that's, you know, you have another couple of letters behind your name. What's your specialty?
So I love dogs and cats, so basically just canine feline medicine. I love surgery, especially soft tissue surgery, and internal medicine, so I like working up cases.
Wow.
Okay. Now, is there anything you should be telling people about? Is there anything going around, like little animal diseases? A lot of times you get, like, you know, sometimes you can pick up stuff at the dog park.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything going around Reading right now that people should be aware of, they should be looking out?
Right now I'm seeing a lot of diarrhea. And I don't know where that's coming from. I haven't pinpointed it to, you know, them swimming in a specific area or them being at a certain dog park. So I would just be careful taking your...
Our dog picked up a cough at the dog park and needed an antibiotic that knocked it out immediately. But people don't realize is that, you know, that's why you need to have
people.
Yeah, that's why you need to have them inoculated too, because you go up to dog parks, some people don't.
Vaccines are so important, and especially something like the kennel cough vaccine. It's not 100%, but it decreases clinical signs. So if your pet gets exposed to an upper respiratory infection, he's less likely to develop pneumonia. And once it develops into pneumonia, it can be really, really tough to treat.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are sick.
What do you recommend for fleas?
For a dog, I like Bravecto. You know, it's an oral tablet. You give it once every 3 months, and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about the greasy stuff on the back of the neck. You don't have to worry about if you bathe your dog and you wash everything off. And FDA has actually approved it for use in dogs who are pregnant and lactating.
So this is something that's not going to hurt their livers or little kidneys or anything else, and it keeps the fleas off?
Mm-hmm.
For 3 months.
And what's
three
it
months.
Called?
Bravecto.
How do you spell that?
Bravecto.
And go to, how about just Animal Care Hospital if you're looking and also I saw that you get like, when you bring in your pet, you get a, the free trim on the toenails. Hey, do you grind them?
We do. If you ask, we will grind them.
It's really an important thing.
You get
thing.
A twofer if I bring her in. You'll do mine too.
Sure.
Okay, just one.
No, seriously, they when it's really important. Like a lot with dogs, sometimes they either cut or you grind.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew little, that. I never knew you could.
Yeah, you could grind their little toenails down.
Okay, so we've learned some really important things. We only got like about a minute and a half left. One, most of our little animals are chubby because we love them too much. Two, that there is maybe a little something going around, so be prepared because you're seeing diarrhea, more cases of diarrhea. And that there is a pill that you can give the dogs for fleas that works really well, and you don't have to put this stuff on them every month and then not wash them for so many days. And that's called?
Bravecto.
We have 30 seconds left. What about the heat? Let's talk about the heat real fast.
Mm-hmm.
What not to do?
Do not leave your car unattended with a dog in it.
Okay.
Cracking the windows doesn't do
any
anything.
Good. Right.
And if your dog's really hot, use cool water on their feet.
Care Animal
on their
Hospital.
Feet. Okay.
Care Animal Hospital. Where are you located?
On Hilltop Drive, on the north end of Hilltop Drive, up by Lake.
Up by Lake. Mm-hmm. Okay. And a phone number?
It's 244-2287.
Hours?
We're open from 7:30 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Monday
through Friday.
Monday
and
through
then
Friday.
Saturday, we're open 8 to 2.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much.
Dr. Karen Tennant, thanks a lot. This is just our first,
awesome.
Our first show. We'll be back several more times.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Okay, hey, when we get back, Bruce Dean, co-founder of Black Bear Diner and head of the California Restaurant Association.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Well, that's RN News. I'm Wally Hines in Washington. The sound of history in Havana, Cuba. The U.S. flag being raised outside the embassy for the first time in 54 years, a ceremonial cap to efforts by the Obama administration to restore relations. Speaking in both Spanish and English, Secretary of State John Kerry called it a truly historic moment.
I feel at home here because this is truly a memorable occasion. A day for pushing aside old barriers and exploring new possibilities.
GOP presidential hopeful Marco Rubio, the son of anti-Castro immigrants, has been sharply critical of the deal.
This arrangement is simply this. We're going to do all these things with Cuba. We're going to open up all these things that we are willing to do with Cuba. And Cuba responds, thank you very much, but we still want you to pay reparations. And we're not going to change a single thing.
Next up, some tough negotiations on expanding economic ties and resolving billions of dollars in half-century-old American claims of confiscated property. They argued all night in Greece, but the country's parliament has approved the latest bailout deal, a $93 billion plan that includes tough austerity measures. A 45-year-old man is dead after being hit by a roller coaster at the Cedar Point Amusement Park in Ohio. Officials say James Young had dropped his cell phone while riding the Raptor.
After completing the ride, Mr. Young decided to retrieve these items. He jumped over a fence into a restricted area under the Raptor and was looking for his personal belongings. Mr. Young was struck by the Raptor train that was in operation.
The coaster was closed for the rest of the evening. Also at SRNnews.com, New York City declaring victory over Legionnaire's disease that has killed a dozen people. Health officials say there have been no new cases for the past 10 days. This is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
We gave Tom 12 seconds to give 6 reasons why he opened a Mathnasium Learning Center franchise.
Okay. Great income potential. Doing good for kids. Doing what I love. Making math make sense to kids. 500 centers open already. 1 every 3 days. Mathnasium taught me the business. Helps me. Supports me.
Time's up. Pretty good. For franchise information, visit Mathnasium.com. Or take the first step right now. Call 855-361-MATH. That's 855-361-6284.
A new poll finds bipartisan support for expanding background checks on private gun sales and sales at gun shows.
The July poll by the Pew Research Center finds 88% of Americans, including 88% of Democrats and 79% of Republicans, favor expanding the background checks. That's up slightly from 81% who said they supported the measure in 2013. That poll was conducted shortly after the December 2012 school shootings in Newtown, Connecticut. The most recent poll also found nearly 8 in 10 Americans, or 79%, said they favor laws that prevent people with mental illness from purchasing guns. Linda Kenyon, SRN News.
A Massachusetts judge has ruled that a million-dollar home and a Hummer owned by former New England Patriot Aaron Hernandez can be sold as part of a lawsuit filed over the death of a man that Hernandez has been convicted of killing. This is SRN News. It's another recall for the Chevrolet Cobalt.
This time it's because improper wiring could prevent the roof-mounted driver's side airbag from deploying after a crash. The recall affects Cobalts from the 2010 model year. GM will notify owners. Dealers will inspect the wiring and replace faulty wiring for free. The recall is unrelated to last year's recall of millions of Cobalts for defective ignition switches, which could stall the vehicle and turn off the airbags. Keith Peters, SRN News.
Connecticut's highest court has struck down the state's death penalty, sparing the lives of 11 killers currently on death row. 32 hours after a series of huge explosions tore through a warehouse district in Tianjin, China, a firefighter's been pulled alive from the rubble. 50 are known dead, but many remain missing. Social Security turns 80 today with a big question about its future. The retirement fund only has enough money to pay full benefits for another 20 years. More details at SRNnews.com. From Washington, I'm Wally Hines.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning. It's the 14th of August, 2015. The 70th anniversary of the ending of World War II is today. And today at 11 o'clock up at IGO, they're having a ceremony up there at IGO to commemorate this, at the end of World War II. So 8:07 in the morning here, 70 degrees out there, going up to 91 today. There's going to be smoke out there. There's already smoke out there, so the wind has shifted. So be aware of that. If you have breathing problems or sinuses, this might be a day to maybe stay inside, make sure that your air conditioner's on or some kind of air scrubbing device there. Tonight, going down to around low 67. Now, tomorrow, a high around 102. Sunday, around 104. Dropping down to 71. It looks like the whole week it's going to be up in the hundreds. So be aware of that. And also, make sure that you're dressed right, you're drinking lots of water. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends out at Mighty Fine Foods at 299 in Deschutes, right there in Bella Vista, a family-owned business. It's your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. They've got it all. They have over 1,000 cold drinks, including 250 different kinds of beer. That's not just 250 beers, 250 different kinds of beers. Big barbecue going today, so you can pick up your barbecue for the weekend. All of this at Mighty Fine Foods, 299 and Deschutes Road in Bella Vista. Okay, we're here with Bruce Dean, who is a friend once, he's the co-founder of Black Bear Diners, right, which is a very successful restaurant chain. I hate to even use the word chain with you, because it's, you don't feel like that when you go in. Right. You feel like every one of them is an individual great place to go to.
Right. Well, how we've grown is that we took second-generation restaurants as we grew across the country, so that every restaurant's different. So it's not like we just went out and built 70 boxes that are the same. So yeah, it worked out that way.
70 right now. Okay. Well, let's go to the phones real quick. Lori, good morning. Lori, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Linda and Carl. Just listening to your update here for the Friday weather and the 70th anniversary of World War II, and just kind of looking at the geopolitical scene. Wanted to check in with all of you and share that our local Record Searchlight is not going to be covering a very huge, important, and vital event this evening. So I'm kind of hoping I might get a moment to indicate and impart some information for our listeners.
Okay. Give me like a minute of it. What is it, Lori?
Basically, it's the Engineering Earth event here at the David Maher Auditorium. It's a free event to the public. It starts this evening at 6:45, although the doors open at 4, and it will be covering a variety of expert testimony from legal, medical, U.S. Forest, Farm Service, defense industry, fish and game, that have been collecting valuable data on the aerosol spraying that's been happening seems to be decades now, but a lot of people are starting to connect the dots and realize that this is very evident, and this is why we're having our drought, fires, lack of oxygen in the air, just other damage to the crop industry in California.
Okay, that's going to be tonight at the David Maher Auditorium?
Yes, at the David Maher Auditorium on 2200 Eureka Way.
Uh-huh.
Some people know it as the old Nova
School. Yeah.
And we will be having an informal video presentation that people can kind of mill about and visit before the actual program begins with our host, MC John B. Wells. And then each expert will have approximately 5 minutes to give a statement of urgency. And that will be the latest updates in the other fields that I just shared. After that, Dane Wigington, our local lead researcher, will be sharing a brand new PowerPoint presentation. And then followed by that, the public is invited to ask open question and answer. So they can stand up at the microphones. They will not be screened. They will not be handed some little index card and have that screened. It's completely open to ask, inquire, and just get better information because, unfortunately, the media is suppressing much of this. And it's getting worse by the day. We're losing species. The medical doctor that's now joining us is a local neurosurgeon.
Uh-huh.
He will also be sharing.
Okay. All right. This is tonight. This is the doors open at 4:30. It's at David Marr Auditorium right up there.
Doors open at 4 p.m. I'm so sorry. 4
okay.
p.m.
4 p.m. So
and
people can
come
up.
And we have free DVDs for the first couple hundred people.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a worthwhile event to kind of get in the know because, unfortunately, the
if you haven't been there, if you haven't been there and seen the stuff, you need at least to look at it so you can make up your mind, right?
That's the whole point.
There you go.
Put your own conclusion
okay.
together. Thank
you. All right, Lori. Thank you so much. And you know what? We're going to get Dean. When you see Dean, have him give me a call because we want to have him come on so we can update all of this.
Absolutely.
All right.
We'll do that.
Thanks
Thank
a lot.
You, everyone.
You bet.
All right, have
Bye.
A great day.
Okay. This is community radio. This
about.
Is what we do. Yep. All right. And starting again here with Bruce Dean, who is
back
who
for
is
our
the
community.
Co-founder of Black Bear Diner. And we talked about how each one of your 70 restaurants that you have now, it feels like an individual one,
right.
The way you treat it, even though that it's the same menu,
right?
And it's it is the same menu, but it's when you walk in, it's like, oh, this could be the little diner anywhere,
right?
And even here in Reading, and it could be in a place as small as let's just say Dunsmuir or something small, but also as large as San Francisco.
Right, in the Bay Area and stuff.
You've got them there in the Bay Area. You've got them all over it now.
Well, we found that people, we started in Mount Shasta and second store here in Reading, is that small town values carry into large city America, and that people want the same things that we want up here and don't often get in the Bay Area and Phoenix and L.A. and all the other places we're at. So,
Phoenix, L.A.,
kind of a homespun feeling. So
right.
When you're in the big city, you know, not necessarily to have parsley,
right.
You know, or it doesn't have to be dressed. It's like, just give me good, home-cooked, feeling food.
Yeah, we make a joke. You're probably not going to find kale and quinoa on our menu. So anyway.
No kimchi?
No kimchi.
No kimchi. You know, Bruce is, you know, it's not just, it's one thing to be a success. And to grow your business. But it's also something else to be recognized as somebody that's a leader in the industry. And you know, and he is now the chairman of the board of the California Restaurant Association.
Right.
With over 22,000, is that right?
22,000 member restaurants, and I kind of feel we represent the 1.4 million employees in California that are in our industry, second highest level of employment in California behind healthcare. So,
well, so that's big. So
big.
We're going to take a quick break here because when we come back, I think that the question that everybody has and is the minimum wage being raised to $15 here and the impact it's going to have on the restaurant industry, but then on the whole economy
right.
also with that type of wage as a beginning wage for
right.
people.
Right.
All right, we'll be right back. Bruce Dean, chairman of the board of the California Restaurant Association and also the co-founder of Black Bear Diners.
Thanks.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Bistar Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at FiveStarBank.com. Bistar Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Having trouble finding cute clothes and accessories in town? Look no further than Dandelion Boutique in our very own downtown Reading. Specializing in the hottest brands from Spanx to Alex and Ani, and of course, a huge selection of Brighton jewelry, perfect to make any gift or occasion memorable. So come say hi to the girls of Dandelion at their new spot, 1322 Pine Street, or call 247-1292. Dandelion, unique gifts and more.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Playing ball is a fun and healthy activity. Unfortunately, the cost of organized sports participation is out of reach for many children. Ardwood and Play Ball Foundation's mission is to increase local youth sports participation through education, providing equipment, and fee assistance. Join us on Saturday, August 29th for the Home Run Derby fundraiser at Reading Softball Park. Admission is free and includes a kids' venue, concessions, and good old-fashioned home run hitting. Sponsored by K2 Properties and the Corey Meyer Home Selling Team. For more information, visit us on Facebook or call 440-4211.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Z-Cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. 70 degrees out there, going up to 91. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. It's 17 after 8 here on Friday the 14th. 605-4567 is our phone number. This portion of the show brought to you by View 202, the only restaurant on the river. And on Sundays, Linda sings with her jazz ensemble there from 11 to 1. Brunch goes from 11 to 2. But she sings from 11 to 1. If you want to come on out and join us, give them a call at 226-8439 for reservations. Okay, our guest, Bruce Dean, businessman, community leader, not afraid to mix it up and at all, if you know Bruce. And, I mean, when you was recognized as for your leadership in the industry by being nominated and then being voted in as the chairman of the board for the California Restaurant Association. Like you said, over a million people that you represent and over 22,000 restaurants in California.
Right.
$15 an hour minimum wage.
Well, that's the that's kind of the discussion in a lot of the urban markets of California, where they're taking a local approach to minimum wage. And so, you know, I mean, I kind of maybe have a little different viewpoint than a lot of folks, is that I understand that in certain locales, San Francisco, for example, you know, it's very expensive. And so in those markets, they think that they need to have a little higher minimum wage. And I don't think most people would disagree with that. I look at it a little bit differently in some ways, is that, one, I like looking at cause and effect. And so let's you know, what in fact is the minimum wage and what's it for? Traditionally, it was kind of the entry point into the labor market. So most of you out in the audience, and I'll go and do discussions and talks, and one of the first questions I ask is, how many of you have ever worked in a restaurant? And most people in the rooms generally raise their hands at some point.
I did. I worked when I was growing up.
Some point along the way in your life, you worked in one, some sort of food service or something, and it was kind of oftentimes the very first job that you had, and you learned about how to show up on time and how to
dress for the job and how to handle customer relations and meet the needs of an employer. And
responsibility.
Yeah,
and
all of
and
those things.
For your actions.
So those are great first steps for people. And also for the real poor and folks that are untrained in things, it gives that first step to maybe get a job and start feeling good about yourself. And
maybe don't speak English as well.
Well, maybe not.
I mean, that could be one of the things.
One of the things.
It's a beginning of your life in a lot of times, of your working life.
Right, it is. And so one of the things that I worry about, and it actually has been proven, is that if you raise this minimum wage up too high, it becomes a barrier for youth employment. And so in fact, in San Francisco, where they've jumped the minimum wage or starting to jump it, youth employment is very high. And that's a very bad thing in a lot of urban markets in California. You know, kids need to work. People need to get work here. And so I'm afraid that if they set the barrier too high, youth unemployment and the ability to get that first step on the rung will be harder to get.
Well, this I believe is that, you know, when you have summer help that you could bring in, you know, for, you know, as a, you know, either from college or in between, you know, kids wanting to make some money. If all of a sudden you pop it up to $15 an hour, now you've got people working there full time for $15 an hour. You're not going to be able to get those kids in.
Traditionally, again, that first rung was something that you kind of got into the labor market with, and then you kind of moved up from, and as most people have. And I generally ask those same people, how many of you worked in the restaurant business at some point in your life? About 95% raise their hand. How many of you work there now? And I'd be the only person in the room raising my hand. So it's a great spot to start and move through and train yourself, get yourself through school. I earned my way through school. My folks didn't have any money at the time. I remember my first job. I was minimum wage. I was washing dishes. I was $1.78 an hour, and I thought that was the greatest thing in the world because, again, I was only 15 years old, and I didn't have to raise a family on it and all of those other things. So
it gave you spending money, and it helped you maybe save some money, could buy some clothes, and those kind of things where it didn't impact on your parents.
That's right, and then I learned next I wanted to make more money, so I learned how to cook. And so I got a skill. I learned how to cook, and so, again, my folks didn't have any money. I went to UC Davis, and so I cooked 40 hours a week while I was going to school and earned a degree there and actually started into graduate school cooking as well. And then ended up having a daughter and had to kind of move up into the business world and so got out of it at that point. So I guess the point being is that do we want to set the bar so high that nobody can get to that first rung? Now, the offset to that is that during the Great Recession, which wasn't that long ago, good people working in higher-level jobs lost those jobs. So they ended up underemploying themselves into some jobs that traditionally folks kind of moved up to the first rung with. So people moved down. They needed work.
Right.
They had to work. So
different types of – no, and I understand it. They would have a list of 1,000 people waiting to go work at a burger place because they gave medical or things like that. I remember
we opened a restaurant in Modesto and – 2008. Modesto in the Central Valley was really hard hit.
Yeah.
We had over 1,000 people apply for 80 jobs that we were offering at that point.
All different types of abilities, I bet.
Yeah, and just people needed work. And so it was a very bad situation. And so that is what I think has created this growth because people that traditionally were raising families and things on their jobs were ending up back in these minimum wage jobs because they'd lost their jobs other places. So I understand it. And as the economy gets better now, though, I think that it's much harder now to find staffs. We just opened some units in Utah, which is relatively a full employment state, and really had a hard time finding the staff necessary to open those restaurants, even from those folks that want to jump on the first rung. So I understand it, but people need to also understand the ramifications of it. If you raise this minimum wage up too much, not just our industry, but other industries.
Because it covers all industries.
It's not just restaurants. It's everybody that employs. Is that, one, the employer is going to sit there and, you know, figure out, you know, I don't think automatically more customers are going to come in the front door. So you've got to figure out how you're going to be efficient, how you're going to withstand this. And a lot simply won't. And I think we were proven last month, Seattle raised their minimum wage on first step over a couple months ago. And what they found, I just read yesterday, is in that first month, over 1,000 people in the restaurant industry in Seattle lost their jobs.
Wow.
Because, again, you raise it up, and if you can't offset that cost, and again, restaurants run on a relatively low margin, as do a lot of...
Most of the restaurants run at, what, under 8% or something? Three to
5%.
3 to 5% margin.
Right.
Okay.
And so when you throw this added labor cost, which is significant, if you were paying $9 and it went to $11.50, I think, first step in Seattle or somewhere in that range, you know, that's a 20-25% jump on that side of the scale. It's hard to adjust. So you try to get efficient. You try to do some other things. And you'll also see what a lot of places are going. If you go into a Chili's restaurant down in the – we don't have one here. But if you go into the Bay Area or Sacramento or something.
I've heard of them, yeah.
They've got iPads on the table where you do your ordering. So you come into their bar and you can order your drinks and everything right on an iPad. So nobody has to come wait on you. Well, that's not nothing I ever want to do. But that's what –
That's kind
of
where it's going.
That's kind of a reaction to it.
And you've heard about this one. One of our listeners said Taco Bell has an app where you order on a cell phone. It knows your location. It starts cooking at about the right time that you're going to show up.
Right.
And the other thing I saw was you walk into a place and there's 5 kiosks on the counter. You order just like with the iPad. Yeah. You pay. And then somebody brings your food out to you. I mean, there are 5 jobs. Well, that was just 5 jobs there. So if you take it through the day, if it's open 24 hours a day, as a lot of these are, I mean, that's got to be 15, 16 jobs just eliminated right there.
I think what you're going to do is you're going to find a lot of businesses are going to turn to technology like that to eliminate labor. And I think it's kind of a bad trade-off. I mean, one, I enjoy our staffs. I enjoy our people. I know what it was like to get this job in our industry and how important it was to me. And to turn to that, it makes me kind of sad, actually. And it also, I think, it changes the service proposition. So anyway, and everybody also needs to know that there's only so much you can do. Again, if wages jump a certain point, you can only take so much in efficiency. And so, therefore, you basically have to raise prices. And That's going to happen in society. If society decides that this is something that they want, then society needs to understand that the costs and prices are going to go up.
And it could go up 20%.
It could. It could
easily 20%.
It could very well go to where, you know, you go out for a hamburger and it's $12, $13, whatever. You know, I mean.
Well, who's the one? There's one in San Francisco, and I'm trying to remember the name of the chain, but they're nationwide. And they look because look, and we want to talk about this after the break. The cost of commodities, what that's done.
Right.
But when they made that, you know, they say, okay, we have to raise our prices 4% across the board. San Francisco, we have to raise it 15% because of the change in the labor cost. And then they've got to figure out at that point, you know, you have to pass that on.
Right.
You know, where the people, you know, the huge impact this is having on them in this, I think it was Chipotle.
It does, you know, again, in that market, it may not mean much because people
have money.
The Bay Area, so, you know, you've got the Silicon Valley environment and the money that people make and the fact that, you know, so it's easier. Now, you do that same thing up in Modoc County or Alturas or Susanville or Redding.
Alturas, the whole place shuts down.
Yeah, I mean, people don't have that kind of money in their pocket. And so if somebody takes a statewide approach to minimum wage, it may be very applicable in some of the urban markets, but you take it to some of the rural markets of the state where people as a whole generally don't make that much, it's much more difficult.
Another interesting comment here before we take our break, the people who lose their jobs because of the minimum wage, then go on welfare or disability. So now you work, or they work in the underground economy. So they lose their jobs, so then they have to go on. So we end up paying twice for this, really. We pay higher cost to, you know, for the food. And it's not just food. It could be anything. And the people in the business, like I can tell you right now, if that started tomorrow, two of my people wouldn't be working here.
Yeah, it would be really tough.
Just wouldn't be working.
Yeah, and you know, the folks that are proponents of this are basically sit there and say that the pay should be at a level where they don't qualify for government subsidies, that they don't that they're at a point where they don't qualify for those things. And to the degree you understand that, but you also have to understand that those that do not ever get in the labor pool, or one, youth don't ever get in, and those that are in, some will gain, some will lose. Those that lose will have to go on unemployment or other
other kind of subsidy,
yeah. Right.
Okay, our guest is Bruce Dean, chairman of the board of the California Restaurant Association, representing over 22,000 restaurants and over 1.4 million employees, plus co-founder of Black Bear Diner. So he's got, like, he knows what it's like to start something and live off the quarters that they put into the jukebox.
Lived off the quarters of the jukebox.
Ate at Black Bear Diner for all your meals, but guess what? Good food.
Every meal for years.
I love it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
There's an open casting call for actors, singers, and dancers ages 7 and up for Redding's holiday tradition, A Cascade Christmas. This holiday spectacular features an all-new story, music, dance, and illusion to bring the spirit of Christmas into everyone's hearts. Auditions are at the Cascade August 21st through the 23rd. Singing auditions are on a first-come, first-served basis. Dance auditions by appointment only. Information and appointments online at cascadebackstage.org/auditions or 243-8877.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Leesig's of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBott. It's Friday, August the 14th. 70 degrees out there today, going up to 91. Watch out for the smoke. It's going to be a little heavy today. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, a better-known business. Great haircuts, great prices, discounts for seniors and veterans. It's man's last stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop, the cheers of barbershops. Our guest, Bruce Dean, co-founder of Black Bear Diners, which is, I want to talk a little bit about that, if you feel free to talk a little bit about it. And also chairman of the California Restaurant Association, of the California Restaurant Association, which is huge, of course, millions of people, thousands of restaurants, tens of thousands of restaurants. We've been talking about the minimum wage. And and how it could work in some areas, but if you try to make it statewide, it's going to destroy business.
Good.
A lot of businesses.
Right.
I can say that because, if they make it blanket for everybody, it might work in San Francisco, but we get to Alturas or even Redding, any of these smaller towns,
Yeah, it's very, very tough. It's just because you would have a hard time passing on those increases to your buying public, because the average family income in rural California isn't that great. And you go down into the Bay Area in Los Angeles, for example, and maybe the average family income might be $100,000. I'm just picking a number.
Yeah.
Well, up here in parts of Northern California, the average family income might be $45,000 or something like that. So they
if that,
they don't have a lot of extra money. Right. You know, it's hard and working hard. And so you just can't pay extra for goods and services. So maybe you stop going. So right now, everybody likes going out to eat.
Sure.
And, you know, so, but maybe you make different choices, or maybe you less, and a lot of folks.
Maybe just, three times a week or two times a week, it goes down to one.
Right. And before you had a cocktail with your dinner or something, and all of a sudden, well, we're drinking water. And, you know, so those kinds of people adjust. But in Northern California, and I think all of rural California, it's going to be very difficult. And so a statewide approach, I don't think is fair and adequate. I think from a localized approach, I think there may be some substantiation for that because of the cost of living and transportation and childcare and all those things that in major urban markets are relatively expensive.
Right. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit too about commodities.
Yeah.
And someday I want to sit down and talk with you, maybe get Witchman here, so a couple other people, and talk to you about the real differences in California is coast and inland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can talk about dividing the state up, but the real thing is coast and inland.
And, they generally talk west of I-5 and east of I-5 throughout the state, and even up into Oregon and Washington.
Absolutely.
Same kind of thing.
The
urban markets are on the western side, and where the real political power and population sits with Seattle, Portland.
All the big cities.
Down into our area, which is the Bay Area, and you go down into
L.A.
and San Diego, even though San Diego is a little bit more of a conservative environment.
Right. There's your big thing. Okay. Commodities. We were talking to somebody else that has just, you know, a restaurant here in town.
Mm-hmm.
Doubles her the cost of eggs doubled for her.
Yep.
And I talked to other people, including you, that the rules we make about chickens being able to get up and walk around or be able to stretch their little wings out has really caused a cost in that. Plus, the cost of diesel and moving stuff around has had an impact on the industry.
Well, commodities generally are. You know, it's something that I live at. I'm at the point in the size of my business is that commodity pricing is very real. I basically have gotten to the point where I deal directly with manufacturers for contracts on products versus going to a distributor, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, beef right now is still at an all-time high. So that's why when people go to the supermarket now, you look and you say, wow, a New York steak costs $10.
Yeah.
And so commodities, then right now, actually pork is actually at some of the lowest parts of the market right now. And that's where I'm lucky and many in our industry.
A lot of pigs out there.
Yeah. A lot of pigs. While beef is high, pork is low, chicken's kind of in the middle, and you kind of move through a little bit. But you'll see it at the supermarket, and anything I'm talking about, people who shop will see it.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things we did have was this cage-free egg law in California. And in fact, I think, I don't know. I'm only guessing. I'm not an expert on it. But I just think there was a little bit of profit-taking on that, too, because I think there was a couple of years for producers to get ready for that. Now, there was no reason in my mind that the price of cage eggs and cage-free eggs, shell and scrambled eggs, doubled in many instances. And I just think that there was some opportunity.
People took advantage. Well,
everything kind of gets back to supply and demand. So when you cut out most of the country producing eggs in a caged environment, and all of a sudden you say you're cage free and it cuts the supply of that product, the price doubled, in fact. And those, everything that I talk about here is reflected in the supermarket. If you go buy a dozen eggs at the supermarket, guess what? If you go in there, they're selling them in half dozens now.
Yeah.
Because they're so expensive, and nobody likes looking at a dozen eggs and saying that they're $5 or something. So it has had a significant effect on our business.
Yeah. And the I'd like to even tie that in more on the carb and the having now started that kind of business to see the cost of that. In your insurance, but just the things you have to have, having to upgrade everything, and the cost of diesel, and then the other things that go along with it, also raises the cost of
commodities. Well, I think everything adds up. So if the more regulation, the more costs you add into the system are things that have to be passed on. They just don't go away.
No.
You know?
You can't ignore them.
You can't ignore them. They get included in the cost of the food. So as transportation goes up, it gets included in what you're paying, whether it's at the restaurant or the supermarket or wherever.
Right.
It's not magic here.
No.
It's simple.
it's simple
supply and demand. It's simple things.
It's
simple
not
economics.
Rocket science here.
That's right.
Let's go to the phones. Jerry, good morning. Do you have a question for Bruce?
I do. Bruce, good program, you guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Very good. And, you know, you really hit the nail on the head. You were saying that society basically is saying that this is maybe something they want without looking at the ramifications.
Right.
That's why we have a republic and not a democracy. I mean, a democracy is two wolves and a lamb sitting at the table trying to figure out what to eat. So I think that the one-size-fits-all situation you're talking about, Bruce, is completely correct.
Right.
We just have different issues and situations in the North State than we do down in San Francisco and L.A., et cetera. I mean, if you make $100,000 a year as a couple, you probably have a hard time even buying a home in Alameda or Lafayette. In fact, you probably can't buy one.
Right.
So, So what is it we can do, my friend, to stand up against this thing, other than what we're doing with Jefferson? I think that the thing is that you've also talked before about hiring people, and you've become a great employer in the area. You've helped a lot of people in business. I've known you for a long time. You're a tremendously honest businessman. What can you do, and what can you get the business community to do to stand up against this?
Well, I think
it's a good question, Terry. Thanks a lot.
It's a challenging environment because one, as much as we try up in rural California or anything that's not urban, is that the political power that we have is very small, and the power that we have within the ability to affect decision makers, city council, for example, in Los Angeles. We put on a significant discussion with city council on minimum wage and what we felt the effects would be.
Now, this is the Restaurant Association,
yes.
Right?
Yes. I mean, we basically kind of lead the way in these
right.
discussions, even though the
Huge
Retail
impact,
Association
right.
and the grocers and all these. We basically lead the way.
Right.
And we had great discussions with that. Well, 12 out of 13 council members voted for the $15 minimum wage in L.A., and it's really because from a monetary perspective, you know, you get affected by that. If you're a decision maker and somebody threatens you and says, look, you vote this way, you're not gonna be sitting in that seat in a couple of years. And that's the kind of thing that goes on. So it's very difficult.
So the other
for us.
Side, the people that the unions that wanted this, SEIU, which is one of the major ones that does this kind of stuff,
yeah.
threatened them and in a way saying, hey, we're going to work against you.
I hesitate to say that, but all I know is that they can strongly influence
sure.
a decision maker, especially in an urban environment
yeah.
where people are inclined to vote that way. So we were trying to get people to sit there and look outside the box. In our industry, we were trying to get them to recognize that, in fact, tips are income. They are, in fact. When you go into a restaurant and you tip the server, they are supposed to report those tips to their employer, and we as employers pay Social Security taxes on that. So it's considered wages by the federal government, but not by the state. So we were trying to influence the fact that if we can get reference to the fact that tips are actually income to servers, and they make significant amount in tips,
yeah.
that would allow the back of the house people, the generally untipped employees, to be paid more. And that's really important because, mm-hmm. again, they're untipped. And
that's your busboys, your cooks.
Yeah, cooks and dishwashers and all those
guys,
people.
Right.
So tipping generally goes to the server, and most of these instances where minimum wage goes up, the server's wage goes up as well. So we were just trying to influence that discussion. Makes very great sense, but didn't get anywhere with it.
14 out of 15? 13 out of 14?
Yeah, we just, you know,
just,
it's just hard.
Do you ever just feel like, you just like, you know what, I went in there and I gave them really great logic here, and they just, you know, their eyes rolled back, or their eyes were glazed when I walked in because it didn't make any difference.
Well, you know, they sat there and listened, and they actually, you know, that makes sense. But when it really kind of got down to it,
yeah.
it's really hard in those environments for a for a city council or a legislator to kind of cross paths with those that will line up against them.
Yeah. Our guest is Bruce Dean, and he was talking about when they were down talking to L.A. about, hey, this is the ramifications and the huge impact it's going to have on your industry down here.
Yep.
And the California Restaurant Association, which he's the chairman of the board of, is a leader in,
right.
And at least and takes the lead in this to try to give the logic about the impact this has.
Right.
Made no difference.
No, it's just it's
you know it's in big cities you're not gonna it's gonna be very difficult for that to happen.
And it's you know we do business. I have a franchisee in Emeryville, California, right across the bay from San Francisco, next to Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just raised the minimum wage to the highest in the country in Emeryville. You know, I mean, we tried to get an argument to the fact that this just didn't make sense, and if you're going to do it, maybe take it in small steps to get it. They didn't care. And
Emeryville is the richest, isn't it the richest zip code in America right
no,
there?
No.
It's not that place?
Not Emeryville,
not Emeryville.
No.
It's not the one with the Black Hawk Auto Museum?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of a different place.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is right there as you kind of as you go across the start of the Bay Bridge across to San Francisco.
So it's so they just raise it.
Yeah.
To what did they raise it to?
Right now, first step, I think it's $13.50 or something on the way to $15. And it was just, so what can you do? I mean, you try to get efficient. But basically, my franchisee down there had to raise his prices 8%,
yeah,
and which is significant to try
sure.
to cover that. And so I guess the point being, maybe in the Emeryville environment, in the urban environment there, and really he hasn't had any customers that said, oh, wow, threw their arms up and say, I'm not coming in anymore. But if you did that in Fort Bragg, or you did that in Yreka, or Tourist, or Doris, or wherever,
right,
Redding,
places.
Is rural California, you did that, people would stop coming in because they don't have the money to
right.
pay for it. So,
okay. Bruce Dean's our guest. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. It is 14 minutes until 9 o'clock here Friday, August the 14th. 70 degrees out there, going up to 91.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us and we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your deliveries. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchard. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show on Friday, August 14th at 7:30 a.m. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
This summer, we can all save energy and money together. Your Reading Electric Utility would like to remind you that you may qualify for one of the many rebates available for upgrading your appliances, adding insulation and window screens, or making other energy-saving improvements to your home or business. Please visit reupower.com to learn how you may earn a credit on your electricity bill. Save energy, save money. Remember, reupower.com, brought to you by REU, where Reading is powerful together.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
It's hot and smoky, and yet they're on the job 24 hours around the clock, protecting our lives, our homes, and our property. From all of us on the China Fire and all the fires in the North State, a huge thank you for all you do. You saved our homes and patrolled our streets, keeping the looters at bay. Although we were without electricity, most of us returned to our homes standing safe, if a little singed. To our firefighters and our police force, thank you seems so trivial. We are sincerely indebted to you.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. It's Friday, August the 14th. It's at like 12 minutes till 9 o'clock here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Alliance Heating and Air, a veteran-owned business. You're starting to see a trend here. You know, I like to push that out. Yeah. Veteran-owned business here. And 20 years of experience in the heating and cooling industry. But right now, what's so important is Alliance Heating and Air can fix your system so they're running economically, but also clean those filters, because after all this smoke, it only takes a couple of months of ingesting all this smoke, and it ruins those filters. You need them to come in, get those filters changed, have them checked, make sure everything's working right. Alliance Heating and Air, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. We use these guys, and Martin and his people are just truly, truly professionals and are really, really good at what they do. Our guest is Bruce Dean, co-founder of Black Bear Diner, and much, much more. Let's go to the phones. Mark, good morning. Do you have a question for Bruce Dean?
Good morning. No, more of a comment, about the discussion. I caught it a little late here, but, the big 800-pound gorilla in the room seems to me to be that the root cause of this is an increase in the money supply. If you look up the definition of inflation, it is the increase in the money supply. These are all symptoms of it. The fact that our government's telling us that there's no inflation is the big lie. The real deal is that because of government overspending, they're printing money out of thin air like nobody's business, and this whole zero interest rate program policy is where this all starts. And that's what everybody seems to not talk about, because we're being lied to when we're told that there's no inflation.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mark. And Mark has a show, Sovereign Minds, on Sundays from 8 to 10, I believe. 9 to 11, sorry.
So I've never looked at it that way, but I've got to think about that one.
Okay. Yeah. Sovereign Minds is on Sunday. Well, but talking a lot about inflation. Now, let's talk about Let's talk about Black Bear Diner. Let's just bring it back home here. You are in the process, during all this time, and everybody's talking about you can't do business in California.
Right.
Bruce Dean does not believe that.
Well, I think what I believe is that in our industry, some of the big players in the industry are afraid of California. So, for example, one of the biggest family dining chains, and that's what we are, breakfast, lunch, dinner is considered family dining, is a company called Cracker Barrel. And they're mostly in the South. And
been to
South,
Cracker Barrel many times.
And they just don't want to come to California. A lot of people are – I talked to one guy from one major chain. I won't say who it was. They were going to open 50 restaurants this year, and only one in California. They were going to move mostly out of state.
Wow.
Which is bad for our state. But I look at it as an opportunity, because I've proven that we, even though we're a small town concept, again, starting in Mount Shasta, and I don't, when we talk about this stuff, I want people to understand that people that know me, I don't want them to think as we've gotten bigger that I've changed at all. I don't want that. I want to, I come from Mount Shasta. I live in Redding, and that's the way I look at things. But I also look at that we do business in certain parts of California at an urban level that people like us. And so
they do like the store.
You know, as again, if you're in an urban market, some place that kind of represents rural California, our restaurants are kind of cabin-y feel and carved bears.
Oh, come on now. When you have your menu, it's on paper.
Yeah, it's on paper, kind of representing the local community. Yeah. So my point being is that I think it's an opportunity. So if these folks don't want to do business in California, we will. And so as we grow into, there's a lot of opportunity in the Southern California market for us, all the way down into San Diego, out into the Inland Empire area. If people don't want to go there, we will. I think the population is such, and the acceptance of us as a brand is such, that I have faith in California. Even though, to be honest, I kind of have a two-pronged strategy. We're opening a number of units in Utah. We just opened a number in Utah. We're opening a number in Las Vegas, and we've got plans for
Las
Idaho.
Vegas,
plans. So
I mean, it seems like no matter where you go, you know, if you try to give people good service and good value, and that they're going to respond to it.
I think it's true. Mm-hmm. And not having the fear, you know, I think it was that Winston Churchill said, never take counsel of your fears. Yeah. It's really easy to back off and say, oh, you know what, you know, things are just tough right now, and not go out there and put it on the line again. But those that do, starting new businesses, starting, you know, expand like that, you got to have faith in yourself and confidence.
One of the turning points in our business was in 08, 09, when the middle of the recession and things were tough. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that people understand that was tough. We decided to open two restaurants during the middle of the recession, one in Davis and one in Modesto, and trying to prove the fact that even though the economy has retracted to a great degree and people have lost their jobs and they were really holding on to their money, we had confidence in our brand to grow it at that time. It really was a turning point for us because it showed confidence in our brand not only to the consumer but to our franchisees and other people that were counting on us, and it kind of changed things for us. Yeah. So,
well, how many of Black Bear restaurants are franchised?
51 out of 70.
Okay.
And we have about 18 different franchise groups that make up that 51.
Okay.
But we're really looking at a program of doing a lot more ourselves.
And I like that. Yeah. And they still have to be under your auspices and saying, just because you've got you've got a franchise here, you are going to buy or have these things on your menu. You are going to buy from our suppliers and all these things.
Everything's got to be the same, you know. And I'm sure that's across the franchise community.
Oh, it does. When you go to in Italy, and I'm sure you've done this, if you've ever had a McDonald's, it tastes like you do right here in Reading. It's just the same.
That's their brand. And so when you talk about a brand, everything has to be the same. So whether you're a gas station and you have a certain gasoline product or I know the people franchise community that do laundromats, and it's all got to be the same. And that's the benefit of the franchise world, where you basically take a proven concept, and it's a little less risk for the entrepreneur rather than going out and opening Joe's restaurant, which has a high failure rate. You know, everybody's got the desire. They want to open a restaurant, but it's a really hard proposition. And
it's
so
hard,
whether it's Black Bear or McDonald's or any other franchise concept, it reduces the risk of failure in that because you've got a proven enterprise. And so I always tell my franchisees, and they always say, hey, I love you, Bruce. I'm going to do everything just the way you want, until they open the doors and say, well, you know, I got a little better idea here, you know. And so I've got to kind of tamp that down.
Now, this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to apply for this job, is that I want to be the franchise checker. I want Linda and I to be able to drive around in a car you provide, and we drive around to every one of them through the year. I mean, we'll just go all over the country, and we'll check, and I'll give them a little checklist, give you a call or send you a little email saying, okay, we're okay here in Utah. We're heading to Idaho.
Yep. You know, you could be my secret shopper. But,
that's it.
But, you know, three times a day and, you know, eating a chicken fried steak or something, and, you know, you might not fit in that car up
there. That's right. Well, but you know what? You've got to do it in such a way as you're coming through and say, oh, nice breakfast. What can we have for salads today? and then I just write back. Okay, you've got to have a secret shopper someplace. It's you, right?
Yeah.
You're the one that travels.
Well, we have secret shoppers. So, anyway.
Well, I think it's great that you're expanding. Yeah. You've got to, your diners are just, it's ready. I mean, and they're a success now. And I remember the one time you told us the places you've had a couple problems with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then this one down in Emeryville. I can just imagine he's probably spent a lot of money on getting it ready. And then they turn around and they give him they slap him with this,
What was interesting about that location, it had been a Lions restaurant, if you remember that chain years ago. And it sat empty for up to like five years.
Uh-huh.
And so my franchisee loved the location, liked the town. They spent about $1.5 million converting that location under a certain economic scenario that they could count on. You know, and that's the thing. You'll take a risk if you can kind of limit the things that are out of your control.
Right.
And so what really kind of upset them was the fact that you changed the way we do business without adequate notice. Not that I understand you wanted to get to this point because you felt for economic justice or whatever they're saying, But you've got to give an opportunity. You just can't go from here to there.
To there.
And because consumers aren't going to accept it, and
right.
you know, and it's just difficult. So they changed the paradigm of doing business in that community without adequate notice, I felt.
You can still succeed, right?
You can still succeed.
People can still succeed.
This is
not just
this,
in Black Bear, but
this
people
is America.
Can still succeed.
Yeah, this is America, and if you take a risk and you work hard, and I just have great faith in it.
You know what? That's a great way to finish right here. Bruce Dean, co-founder of and president of the Black Bear Diners, which is getting ready to expand, as you just heard, throughout California, and also the chairman of the board of the California Restaurant Association. Thank you so much for being with us, Bruce, and thanks for your capturing a lot of things that are happening today.
Thanks for having us, and thanks for the people out here. You know, we started here. This is our roots, and we want to thank Northern California for everything they've done for us.
Great. Okay. Hey, see you this weekend. A lot of stuff going on this weekend. It's going to be warmer. When you can, come out and join us at View 202 and Linda Singer, starting at 11 to 1 for the brunch next week. The sheriff's going to be on talking about the new jail, among other things. A lot of different groups coming on next week. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Gonna stand my ground.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. An historic day in Cuba.
Los Estados Unidos acogen con beneplácito.
Secretary of State Kerry presiding over a flag-raising ceremony at the newly reopened U.S. Embassy. The stars and stripes flying over the American Embassy in Havana for the first time since 1961. Although icy U.S.-Cuba relations are warming up a bit, Kerry says some big differences remain between Washington and Havana.
We remain convinced the people of Cuba would be best served by a genuine democracy, where people are free to choose their leaders, express their ideas, practice their faith with a commitment to economic and social justice.
One prominent Cuban-American, Republican presidential candidate Marco Rubio, says none of those lofty goals will be achieved by cozying up to the repressive Castro regime.
In Cuba, we face a proudly anti-American leadership who continues...